We're going to start. We are back with David, who is running away from his son, who's trying to kill him. He has his friend. So here's a map of the Jordan. He's coming from Yerushalayim. He's heading toward Bahurim, which is around here. See my cursor? And he's going to end up in Mahanaim, which is around here on the other side of the Jordan.
Yeah, we see your stuff, your cursor too.
Okay. And as he's running away, he is being insulted, cursed. Rocks are being thrown at him by Shimon ben Gera, who is a relative of Shaul, who was telling him that, you know, you're the blood that you visited on the house of Shaul is now coming back to haunt you. This is all your fault. And we were here, and then as Shimi ben Gera is insulting him, Bayomar Avishai ben Shruya, Avishai the son of Shruya, El HaMelech says to the king, Lama Yikalel Kelav HaMet HaZeh, why should this dead dog be cursing you? Adonai, HaMelech, my master, O king, Ebra, now let me go over there, Asira et Rosho, and I will remove his head, and that will cure the problem. David says back to them, what's the deal with you and me, oh children? That's plural of Bnei Tzuria. So we have Avishai ben Tzuria. Who's the other ben Tzuria? Who's been paying attention to all of this? His brother is Yoav, who's David's general. He's cool addressing both of them. Koi Kalel, Ki Hashem Amar Lo Kalel. He wants to curse, but it's God who actually told him to do it. You can't tell him not to. This is, I deserve all of this, is what he says. So David says, Avishai, and all of his people is standing over there as their Shimon ben Gera is raining rocks on his head. Look, my son, flesh and blood is trying to kill me. And now we have this Benjaminite here. Anichol, let him be, Bikalel. Let him go ahead and curse. Ki Amar, Lo Hashem, because God told him to do it. This is all, I deserve all of this. Ulai Yira Hashem, Bavoni, Be'ini, maybe God will see this. Look at my eyes. Shiv Hashem Li Tova, and it will pay me back good. Takakla Toa Yamazah, that will be my punishment that I get yelled at by Shimi. That's not so bad. I'd rather survive Avshalom and not worry about Shimi. Maybe this will be my punishment. So I want to look at Bnei Tzuria. Who are Bnei Tzuria that he's telling them? Ma li v'lachem Bnei Tzuria. What's the deal with you, Bnei Tzuria? Who are Bnei Tzuria? So here's David's genealogy from Divrei Yamim. Verse 16, Boaz holidat Oved. Rovid holid el Yishai. We know that's the last psukim in Megillat Rut. Yishai holid el Bacharo, and then Yishai had seven sons: Eliyav, Aninadav, Shema, Netanel, Rade, Etzem, and David, youngest of Yishai's sons. Va'achiyotehem, and they had two sisters, five boys, seven boys, two girls: Tzuria, Vavigal. It's a different Abigail than the one who's David's wife.
So.
He has one sister named Tzuria. Uvenei Tzuria, and Tzuria had three sons, Abishai, Yoav, Asael, Shlosha, those three. So Tzuria is David's sister. And I'm pretty sure this is the only matronymic. Yoav ben Tzuria, Abishai ben Tzuria, that's the only time that their genealogy is mentioned out of their mother, not from their father. I assume they had a father somewhere in there. We don't know any of the backstory there, but he's never mentioned. And they're David's nephews, because David's the youngest. So I assume they seem to be contemporary in terms of age with David himself. And they are David's problem solvers. They solve problems by a well-placed blade under the ribs, and then the problem goes away. And I will make two quotes from a comic strip that I like very much called The Order of the Stick. Okay, it's worth looking at this. It's a Dungeons and Dragons parody comic, okay? So you know what kind of person I am. But as the size of an explosion increases, the number of social situations it is incapable of solving approaches zero. Okay, you can solve social problems by blowing everything up. That was B'nai Sorria's attitude. Similarly, solve a man's problem with violence, help him for a day. Teach a man to solve his problems with violence, help him for a lifetime. I'm not saying these are good things, but that is, those are good quotes there. And then he points out that the fishing aphorism is just a special case of that. And we'll see that B'nai Sorria likes solving problems with violence. This is in Shmuel Aleph, when David is on the run from Shaul, and he finally finds Shaul sleeping in the camp, and he has an opportunity to go into the camp and attack one of those incidences. David announces, "Vayomer Achimelech Achiti," to Achimelech, who's one of his allies, Avishai ben Sruya, Achi Yoav, and Avishai, who is the brother of Yoav, they always go together. Avishai, the one who is now proposing, let's go ahead and kill Shimi. It says, "Mi yered iti el Shaul menachana." Who's going to go with me into Shaul's camp? From Avishai, ani yered imcha. Avishai says, "I'll go." Vo David Avishai al ha'am laila, and the David and Avishai at Avishai sneak into the camp at night. Nisho Shaul shochev yashan b'ma'agel, and Shaul is sound asleep within his fortified circle. Vachitob Mu'uchab Aretz Merashatav, and he's got his spear stuck in the ground next to him. Avner Am Shachvim Sbiotav, and all Avner, who is Shaul's general, are all sound asleep. They've snuck into the camp. Look, Avishai says, David, look, this is your chance. God's given your enemy into your hands. Let me go, just strike him with that spear. And I'll go through him into the ground. Pamach at once. Lo, I won't need twice. He'll be dead. And David has to tell Avishai, no, don't hurt him. Because you can't attack Mashiach Hashem. He is still the anointed. David never wants to kill Shaul. He will not be innocent. Rimmer David Chai Hashem. And David swears that if God wants Shaul to be killed, then God will have to do that. I'm not going to do it. One day it'll happen to a mate and he'll die. Or he'll be lost in battle. I will never attack Mashiach Hashem. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the spear that's a fach damayim and his canteen. We're going to go. Just to say that we were here, and I'm going to make the point to Shaul that I saved his life, and Shaul will be all apologetic. But Avishai says, let's just get to kill him now. The story goes back, and the later story with not Avishai, but with Yoav and his brother Amasha, was when David and Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, are in a civil war. And they're trying to negotiate a peace. This is before David is king in Yerushalayim. He's king in Hebron, and Ishbosheth is king over the rest of Israel. But he'd say Abner ben Ner. Abner is now the general of Ishbosheth, so he represents Shaul's side. But they Ishbosheth and all of Ishbosheth's servants ben Shaul Machanayim Gibona. He goes from Machanayim, which is Ishbosheth's capital, into Gibon, where the Mishkan is. Yoav ben Sruya. Bavdei David and Yoav, who's David's general, another one of B'nai Sorria, and all of David's men, Yatsuv, Yepkashum, Abrakat Givon, Yachdav, and they go meet at the pool of Givon. Eshu, Ela Berecha Mizeb, Ela Berecha Mizeb, and they all, each camp is on one side of this pool in Givon. And they decide they're going to have some kind of contest or game, whether it's peaceful or not, but things go badly and they start attacking each other, and everybody is killed. And all three sons of Sruya were there. Yoav, Avishai, Asael. Those are the original three. Asael Kalbra glove, Kecharat Sabim, and Asael is really fast, like a deer, Sabim Asael, like a deer in the field. Vaidob Asael Achre Abner. And Asael chases Abner. Natal Lechet Al Yamina Yasmon and wouldn't let Abner. Abner is running away, being chased by Asael, and wouldn't run left or right. Miachare Abner, he would not move from Abner. And Abner turns to him and says, "Stop. I'm going to kill you. Just go. We don't want to need to kill each other." But Asael refuses to turn. So Abner strikes him with the butt spike on his spear. You saw that inside. Chomesh under his fifth rib, but and the spear goes right through him. So Abner, who has been trying not to kill Asael, kills Asael. And Asael falls. We call about Makom Hashem Nafal Sham, and anyone who passes by this place where he sees the body of Asael, Hashem Nafal Sham Asael, they all stop and look because they realize what had just happened. And Yafu Yoav Abishai, Yoav and Abishai, who are the two other brothers of Asael, chase after Acharei Avner, Hashem Ashba'an, as the sun sets, the Hema Boal Givat Ama, Hashem Pnei Gich, Derech Midbar Giv'on, and they meet each other. Eventually, they stop the war. And Yoav stops fighting, but he will never forgive Abner for having killed his brother. They stop, and that's Perek Bet. By the time we get Perek Gimel, Abner is trying to make peace with David. Abner al David, let me go. And I will bring all of Israel to you, David. Right now, you're just king over Yehuda. I can bring everybody else to you. We will reunite the kingdom. You will be king. And they will sign a treaty with you. And you will be king over the entire land, whatever you want. And David sends Abner out, and he goes bishalom in peace. And we all know that Lech Bishalom is a bad sign. Lech Bishalom is go to peace. Lech Bishalom always presages that is the last time you will be meet in peace. It's the end. What happened? So Yoav, who's found out all about this, leaves David and sends messengers to Abner. And the messengers say, Abner, you need to come back. The David lo yada, without David knowing about any of this, Yeshev Abner Chevron by Yateyo Av El Toch HaShaar, and Abner goes back to Chevron, where David is at David's capital, and Yoav brings him to the gate, Daberi To B'Sheli, to speak to him secretly, but misleading. B'Sheli is really misleadingly. Be'keo Shem HaChomesh, and Yoav strikes him. Again, Bechomesh under the fifth rib into his liver, Vayomah Bedam Asael Achav, and kills him for the blood of Asael. Yoav Avishai Achav Hagula Abner. Yoav and Avishai worked together, and they are the ones who killed Abner. These are B'nai Tshuriyah that David has kept at his side all this time. Asher Amit Asael Achayhem B'givon Belchema. They wanted revenge. And these B'nai Tshuriyah were fiercely loyal to David. They're with him now, right? Absalom is abandoned, is rebelling. They're not rebelling against David, but they have their own opinions about what David needs. And they will make it happen. Even though they feel that David is far too weak and far too nice to all these people and is not killing everybody, that's a mistake. From their point of view, you got to solve problems with violence. And that's always what they're like. And we saw that when David, on his deathbed, tell Shlomo to make sure that Yoav is killed when Shlomo becomes king. But David never acts against them in his own lifetime because he needs them. This is the way David puts it. You certainly know. Kisar gadol nafal yom b'Yisrael, because a great man, he's talking about Abner, has died today. Vanochi hayom rach, and I am soft. I'm weak. U'mashuach melech, and I may be the king. But those people, they're harder than I am. Yishalim Hashem, Naseh Rak Rato, and may God pay them back. I can't work against them. I need them too much. And the Gemara puts that, it's actually the Midrash that says it, about how David really needed them. And we have a very negative view of them in terms of, say, for Shmuel, because the only things times we see them is when they're doing these violent acts. But they were David's enforcers, and you need some enforcement somewhere there. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Im ein shoter en shofet. So it said, if there are no shoter, there's no police, there's no judge, there's no such thing as a judge. This is a comment on the Gemara, on the pasuk that says, shoftim v'shotrim titen lacha. You need to have judges and shoftim, police, enforcement agents. Ketzad. Kibet shenichayev adam b'vet din l'chaveiro. What does that mean? That if someone's found guilty, someone owes to someone else. Im ein shum shoter, shoftim men, if there's no one to, there's no sheriff to enforce the ruling of the judge. Given Shapirish Midayanim, as soon as they leave the court, the judge can't do anything. You can make all the judgments you want, but you need some kind of enforcement. Elim came Mosrobiar Shoter. We need the Shoter there to enforce the judgment. And the Shoter Matsiyamene and the Shoter. Sheriff is the right term there, right? When it enforces the judgment of the court.
Sure.
We'll enforce it. We'll take the money. Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Padat, Ilema sitno shel Yoav. If it wasn't for the satanness, I mean, it's a very powerful word there, of Yoav, lo ya David yachol asod adin. David could not execute any judgment at all. Hena Omer, that's what it says. Ve'id David aseh mishpat ruzitaka l'chol amo. We saw that pasuk. David does tzaka mishpat, and right after that, Yoav ben Tsruya al tzava. Yoav was over the army. We pointed out there was no Posse Comitatus Act, that the Tzava was both internal security and external armies at the same time. David and Yoav weren't really shoftim. Ela kol mi she'ino shomer dayan, but anyone wouldn't listen to the judgment. Mosrin oto b'yaroyim. Rabbi Yoav. Yeah, it would be put in the hands of Yoav. Motzimi mina abakocho, and they would force the situation, which is the paradox of these Bnei Tzuria. And you have to remember that Yoav was the one who brought Avshalom back. Perek Yudalid, Avshalom is in exile after having Amnon murdered. Yoav is the one who manipulates David into letting Avshalom back. Yoav really likes Avshalom. Yoav thinks that Avshalom is the strong one, who's the one who should succeed David. Avshalom is exactly the person that Yoav thinks should be the king. Right? He thinks that naming Shlomo was a mistake. And later on, after David dies, it's Shlomo versus Adoniah, who's kind of this the second coming of Avshalom. Yoav will go with Adoniah. However, when Avshalom rebels, Yoav, Bnei Tzuria, stay with David because they're loyal to David. He may be making a mistake in terms of putting Shlomo on there, because Shlomo is this kid who, if God asks him what he wants, you want power, you want money, you want wealth, and Shlomo's going to pick wisdom. From Yoav's point of view, from Abishai's point of view, that's a terrible choice, right? Definitely need to get Avshalom. But now Avshalom's rebelling against his father. David's got to win this battle, and you will make sure of that. And it's Yoav who's going to be the one who actually kills Avshalom in the end. So this contrast here, Mali b'lachem b'nei Tzuria. What am I going to do with you, b'nei Tzuria? You know, you're seeing the same things I am, right? I'm having all these troubles here, and you can react by fighting everything. Violence is the solution to everything, or treat it as a potential lesson from Hashem, which is what the way David does it. And it's clear the text says, well, David's right and Bnei Tzuria are not.
Well, it's not just Yisurim, it's violence. So you react to violence with violence.
Yes. Yeah, that's specifically the Yisurim they're looking at over here, right? It's not necessarily sickness here, but how do I react if someone is But, you know, we're looking at Shimi, who's not doing anything really violent, right? I mean, he's cursing, he's throwing, he's, I mean, they're not like violent rock. I mean, he's throwing dirt. It's about Afer, right? He's throwing dirt on them. And their response is, we just need to kill, take his head off.
Yeah, I see.
Okay, so those kind of uses, you're right. But that's B'nai Tzuria. So, and in this context, there's a Perek Tehillim that I want to look at that seems relevant to this. This is Perek Tet Zayin. There's Perek Tet Zayin, Michtam L'David, Shomrini Kelchi Chesidi Bach, a Michtam. Let's see what that means. Guard me, God, because I have looked to you for pity. And this is Way Feivel Meltzer. We put it before. It was one of the Masada Rav Kook involved in the editing of the Masada Rav Kook on Tanakh?
Oh,
that series, the pink one. I can't remember what it was. Okay, but he has a book on Tehillim. We put it before. Mizmar Tet Zayin. I'm a kif yoter b'kamato. That it is the most, encompasses the most, the amokyo terbilishano as the deepest language, and therefore is the hardest to understand. But we'll try. This is a very poetic Perek Tehillim that's not clear what it means. Pachot muvan b'rayonotav, it's hard to understand what it's trying to say. Haiti Rotzila Gish, and I want to emphasize Iker Yesodachai, one particular point there. Ashenim Tzu Rabot B'Tilim, that's found in many places in Tilim. Hu Mufak Khan B'Chozak Rab, and here it's particularly made. Hu Hagashat Kravat Elohim, this is the feeling of being close to Hashem. Ata Osher, the expression of the happiness, B'Halichab Derech Hashem, the happiness in going the way of Hashem. Hashalva Pimit, the internal peace, Hamishtaletet Al Adam, that rules over a person, that the serene nature of someone who knows that they are dwelling in the shadow of God. Happiness in his salvation, but so hell, and shining, being close to Hashem, and from the years of suffering in life, he will become fruitful. That this terech, he says, is the act of acceptance and the happiness. And I don't think so much, he uses the word osher, happiness, but I don't think it's not that. We'll look at it. It's more about the acceptance that we need to have about Hashem. It's not the easiest path, but it's okay. It will work out in the end. And we'll quote Browning's How I Love Thee. This is the David's approach to Hashem. I love thee with all breath, smiles and tears, my life, if God choose. I shall love thee better after death. I like that. You know that whole sonnet? Look it up. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
Yeah, famous.
But that last line is what turns it from, oh, that's so sweet, to, okay, that's a kind of morbid there, but it's true, and this is what this Tehillim is looking at. I'm looking at it. It says it's a michtam le David. What's a michtam? We've looked at michtam before. The term comes in the Keter of Tehillim. We've seen it before. We've seen it in Tehillim Samach, L'Ma'atzech, Al Shushan Edut. This is the leader on this instrument called Shushan Edut. Michtam le David. A michtam l'amed, to learn. Something to learn from there. Similarly, al tashret. A psalm about not destroying. David, it's a michtam. Shalach Shaul v'shamru al bayit lamito. When Shaul was trying to kill him, when Shaul sent spies to his house and he had to sneak out the window and Michal saves him. Remember that story. That's what that tilum was. Nedzayim lamitzech al tashret. The leader, it's a psalm of not destroying. David michtam. V'varachom yivnei Shaul b'ma'ara, when he was running in the cave. So michtam is all seem to be about al tashchet. It's about violence, but the response to violence.
I thought a michtam was like a seal.
I'm sorry?
thought a mechtam was a seal, you know, like a king seal or something.
Yes, it's used in that sense. Well, a chotem is with a chet. That's, I think, the word you're looking at.
Oh, it sounds the same.
Chetem with a chaf is used in two different ways in Tanakh. It means, in one sense, in Yirmiyahu, it means a stain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, ki'im t'chapsein b'neter, if you will clean me with, literally, natron in Latin, and with sodium hydroxide, which you bainily beborit, and you'll use huge amounts of soap, nechtamo v'nech l'fanai, still the state of my sin is before you. The Talmud, it's a blood stain.
Yeah.
And Hilchot Nida. Right? It's a stain in modern Hebrew. And it's also used in the sense of gold. Right? Ketem tar paz in I'm Zemira, Rosho ketem paz. And Echa you am zahav, yisnei ketem atov. How is this gold, this wonderful ketem, become ruined? So what Hirsch, looking at this parak, connects it by translating as red gold. Blood-colored gold, it's an alloy of copper of gold, which is mentioned in the Gemara as Zahav Parvim Edomel Adam. That's what Ketem is. And so he translates Ketem in this sense of an indelible stain. This is the Tehillim that is, he translates an everlasting memorial. I would translate goes back to the blood stain. This is a Tehillim of blood stains that will never be removed, okay? This is David, all these other ones are Al Tashrei, which is used in the sense, of those Tehillim, of don't let me destroy. Hashem, save me so I do not need to kill Shaul in those cases where he's running away from Shaul. And this is something similar, that where he's saying, Kikel Chasidilach, please God, save me from having to hurt. You protect me. And then he continues, Amart Lashem Adoni Ata. It's not amarti, it's amart. You said, in the feminine. You said, Adoni Ata, thou art my master. Who is he addressing? So, as Milton said, that pachot muvam re'otav, it's hard to say that, but I'm going to use with Rashi's opinion over here. Interpreting this, that this is talking to Klal Yisrael. It's Tehillim addressed at you, his audience. Amart, the feminine, being Am Yisrael, the feminine. Amart, Hashem, Adoni Ata, you're my master. It's the Knesset Yisrael. You have said, O Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem is the master. Amar David, Yesh Lecha Lomar, that you should be saying, Hashem, Adonata. God is your master. Yadcha al Halyona, Lekola by Alai, and that you are in control of everything that happens. He's addressing the community of Israel who accepted this brief with Hashem. And then he continues, here we go. Amart Hashem, Amart Lashem Adonata, Tovati Baal Alecha, that my good is on you, O God. This is David talking again. Tovot Shatasoli, it's good that you do for me, O God. Everything that you've done for me, Lo Alecha, they're not your obligation, is what he's saying to God. You have no reason to do it. Look, my, you have no obligation to save me. He little bit said, because I don't deserve it. I don't have any leave. It's not something that I deserve. It's something that is chas is from pity. And you, Bnei Israel, need to realize it. And then the pasuk continues, the Kedoshim, Asher Ba'aretz Hema. They belong to the Kedoshim in the land. My success is because of Bnei Israel, who are Kedoshim. Adirei Kol Chav Sibam, they're to the Adirim, the powerful, the noble ones, are everything that I want. Everything I have is because of Bnei Israel. As Rashi says, Bnei Israel, the ones I'm addressing here are the Adirim. Asher kol chav sibam, that everything I want is theirs. Kol tzarchai nasim mishvilam, everything that happens to me is because of them. I exist only for the sake of you, Bnei Israel, is what this parak is saying. The parak continues, Yarbu asotam, may their sadness increase. Acher maharu, who chase after another. Ba'asich niskehem adam, and I will not have the nesach. I will not pour out my libations of their libations, of their blood. I will not pour out their blood libations. Not clear what that's talking about. Ubal eser shmotam al-svatai, and I will not mention their names. What is that passage talking about?
And he won't sacrifice in war their blood?
Yeah, but it starts out with Yarbu Atzotehem, so that Rashi says it's Yarbu Atzotehem Shel Kofrim. He's talking about the Acher Maheru, against those who go after another god.
Yeah.
So you're faithful, and so that those who are Acher Maheru, against what Rashi's reading it, it's very poetic, and we've got to kind of put the words together there, that may those who go after an Acher, who have other goals, they'll be miserable. I will not be part of that. I will not offer up their blood libations. Right. That's the violence. That I will not be part of that. I will not even mention them. Hashem menat chalki, that I've been saying, God is my portion. The kosi and my cup. That's quoted in Adar Olam. Nakosi v'yom ekra. Ata tumecha gorali. You are perfect and you are my fate. Referring to Hashem and to Bnei Israel. David is there and I will not abandon them. We talked before about the Chazal saw David is about to worship Avodah Zarah at this point. When he goes, we remember me to mention that when he runs away and gets to Har HaZeitim as he's running away, and Chazal said that he was going to worship Avodah Zarah, and Hushai Arki says you can't do that, it's a Chil Hashem. And the Marsha says that Avodah Zarah there is not literally, but it was about abandoning Eretz Yisrael. Kol Adar B'Yichutz La'Aretz Domek Mi She'en Lo Eloka. Someone who lives outside Israel is like they don't have a God. Very Tzioni there. But David himself has said that when he was the first time he ran away from Sha'ul to Eretz Plishtim, he describes that as you have cast me away from God. And he's saying he's not going to do that. I will not abandon Israel. I will not abandon the land or the people, which is tantamount to abandoning God, abandoning my faith. That is the Bala Sashmo Tamos Matai. I will not bear these acher, these other nations, these other gods on my lips. Because they go together. Kavalim naflu li b'nei emim. It continues. A chevel is literally it's a rope, but used in the sense of a surveyor's chain. It measures out a portion. That's what areas are called, like Mechebel B'nei Yudah, the Chebel, the portion of B'nei Yudah. So it's an area of land.
Because
it's divided.
Like a district, no?
I'm sorry?
Like a district or a region?
District, yes. Mechuzot, that's a good way to translate. District. Right. Because Chebel is how you measure out land, the survey is shape. So that he's saying that my land, my portion, my district, Naflibit Imim, is pleasant. Nachalat Shafra Alai, that my inheritance is beautiful. However difficult it is, that's my Eretz Yisrael. Avarech Hashem Asher Yatzeni. I will praise Hashem who gives me this advice. Aflelot Yisruni Kiliotai, even though at night, my kidneys, my kishkis, are torturing me. Right, that's Hashem. I'm praising Hashem. You may allow me to make the right decision. My gut feeling goes the other way. I need to run away and leave all my Yisroim behind. That's what my kiliot, that's what my guts are telling me. But no, I'm not going to do that. And then he continues the famous pasuk of Shivit Hashem Lididi Tamid. I keep God before me always. That's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch says that. That's our most important field. Ki mimini balamot. Because Hashem will never leave my side. That's my faith. You know everything that happens. And this is the way the Shulchan Aruch, this is the way the Ramah says at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Shiviti Hashem Nidi Tamid. God is before me always.
You want to do anything with that ki mi mi ni to what we're learning now about the mi ni people?
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that, right? Mm-hmm. Do we do it like these are Binyamin? So that's even though the Binyamin Yimini people are there, I will not falter.
Or I won't kill them. I don't know.
It's true. I see. I hadn't thought about that. I'm reading this that more literally, but Yimini definitely is referring to Binyamin because he's got Mephibosheth, grandson of Shaul. He's got Shimon ben Gera from the Yimini. Maybe a reference in there.
maybe.
I'm gonna push it. Mira, I keep Hashem before me. Uklaga doba Torah. It's a great, it's an important principle. This is important. You got to keep that in mind. Malodika tzadikim, and this is one of the values that the righteous have. Hashem lifnei elokim, that walk before God. Ki'en yishivat adam, but you know tav oskav. Because the way a person acts, and the things you do, hu levado beito, when you're all alone. Kishivatav b'tchino tav oskav, v'hu lifnei melech gadol. The way you act is not the same way as you would be in the presence of a great king. And what the words you use and the things you talk about, the way you say when you're in your own house, among your own family, the way you would talk in front of the king. So that's the way the Ramas tell you. That we need to think that even though you're at home alone, you're still standing in front of Hashem. You need to act that way. You need to, even when you're talking among your family, be careful what you're saying. Hashem Malekolah, Arz Kibodok, because God is everywhere. Made it Allah, Vareh, Basak, that everything you're doing is seen, everything is being recorded. Which, in the terms of the Ramah, is more of a metaphor. Now we know that, because we've got the Alexa and Siri are all listening to everything we say, reporting back to Apple and Google Central. Everything you say, everything you do is being recorded, and we know exactly what that means. But
as we learn, don't get one of those things.
I don't know. We've got the little spy gadget in the car now for the insurance. We got the phone and the Siri. Yes. It's hard to be paranoid nowadays because you really are being watched and listened to, and it really is being recorded.
You're justifiably paranoid.
I'm sorry?
You're justifiably paranoid.
Right. Paranoia means it's a delusion.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it was a delusion.
Yeah, paranoia is a delusion, is a fixed false belief. This is a real belief, right? You really are being watched. But that's it. You know, Shivita Hashem thing he means is that that's the way you're supposed to feel, that really Hashem is watching that, and you should feel that, okay, that I need to do the right thing even if in private. As soon as you realize that, you will have that fear and that humility of Pachad Hashem. Fear Hashem. I think what we found, now that we feel it, we get it's the opposite, is that we're so used to it, we don't care what everybody knows and everything's out there. But that's not the ideal. Shivita Hashem Negdik Tamid. And then he continues.
So okay. Can I just ask you one question?
Sure.
Shiviti Hashem LeNeged Tamid is part of comes from this particular psalm.
Yes.
I never really realized where that came from.
That's what we're doing up here.
I should have guessed it was from David.
What?
I should have guessed it was from David.
Yeah, all the good quotes are from Dalem, right? Some KJ from Mishlei. But yeah, that's what he's saying here is that whatever happens, God is in front of me. God's before me. I will not abandon him. And that goes back. I will not abandon my people or my land, right? The Chavalim, right? The Adirim, the people, the land, and Hashem. That sounds very Bnei Akiva, right? Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Dat Yisrael. And that's what he's saying over here. And then he continues on with the Browning comment about death. Lachain Samach Libi. Therefore, my heart will rejoice via gel kivodi, and my kavod, which is usually translated as another term for the nefesh, neshama, my soul will be happy, af b'sari yishkol betach, even when my flesh lies for eternity. Right? Because God will not abandon my soul to the grave, to the pit. And your chesed will not allow me to see destruction. To do any orach chayim, let me know the ways of life. So that's sova samachot epanecha. I will be satisfied in joy with your presence. Imot b'minecha netzach, and of eternity in your right hand, O God. And that certainly sounds like he's talking about life after death. So I mean, people say there's no mention of Olam Ba in Tanakh, but that seems pretty explicit, right? My heart will rejoice. My soul will be happy even when I lie eternally, right? I'll be happy in your presence. Nimot b'minchanetzach, eternally at your right side. That seemed pretty clear to be a statement about even when I die, that there's some sense of being in Yemin Hashem afterwards. That's where Rashi reads it. Todini orach chayim. You will let me know the ways of life even after death. So be eternal, be sated with happiness, joy that has no end, techla, that has no conclusion. This is the future right there. And I say that is the conclusion of acknowledging that I will not live forever. And in our story, he doesn't die yet. We know how this ends. Okay, and we'll go back to Avshalom with the narrative in a moment, but we will stop here and continue on, I think, next week. I'm going to check my schedule because I've got a bunch of hours now.